At the end of our study on Daniel, we are going to combine Daniel chapter 11 and chapter 12. And let's pray and get started. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and Lord, I am the most inadequate vessel to do this teaching. I am the least of those, God, that you would, anyone would choose to do this. God, I am wholly, wholly dependent upon you to reveal what you desire for your people to know in this scripture, what you have revealed to me, Lord. And I leave all of the details and the history to you and to those who would desire to seek further into this, Lord, and to dive deeper, God. My main goal today is to be faithful to you, to be faithful to your word, and to be faithful to deliver it unto your people, Lord, that you have redeemed. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to begin by telling you that I am not going to take this point by point and do every little scripture. We will read chunks of scripture and we will look at history, because there is so much history that is past for us, and then there is the prophetic future return that is still yet to come. So there are things, if you are a history buff and you love to study the nations rising and nations falling and the different kingdoms, then I just encourage you to go and look at all of that, and then come back and look at the Word of God and put it together. So I'm not a history teacher in that sense. And so I have really, really struggled with this section of scripture. And I just wanted to, I have prayed and said, God, I don't even know how to do this without spending months and months and months in study of the historical background for all of this. And I don't believe that that was what God was telling me to do. If it had been, I would have delayed it. But I do believe that God told me I would finish this by the end of this year. And so here we are. Here we are today to finish this study. I want to start. We are in Daniel chapter 11 and 12. But we're going to start back at Daniel chapter 10, verse 21. And this is what the angel was telling Daniel. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. I want you to remember that I've said this over and over, and in so many of the Bible studies that I teach, our God is a writing God. And so when it talks about the scripture of truth, we have scripture here, but apparently what this angel is referring to is what is in heaven, in the heavenly records, in the heavenly scriptures. It is truth. What he's telling Daniel, this is truth. And for us, listen, he tells Daniel this, Daniel writes it down. It is for us. It is for all those who've come behind Daniel, all of those who have read this. This is truth and we can bank on it. Okay, the angel wants Daniel to understand that what he was hearing is truth. As for us, it's already recorded. The angel is just bringing that scripture that's at the throne of God down to Daniel to tell him. And then at the appointed time will come to pass, as recorded in the scripture of truth. God has pulled back the curtain in Daniel to show us there is more than meets the natural eye. And if you remember, I did suggest Frank Peretti's book, This Present Darkness. It's just a fictional book written, but I believe with this in mind. With this in mind and what it shows in the book of Revelation, as I thought about it, you don't see as much angels working in the history of men as you do here. And in the book of Revelation, it's all about the angels doing the work of the Lord. But, you know, and God sees it all. God has his forces to do the battle. But I want us to take a minute and look at this in perspective, okay? We see angels battling angels. those who rebelled, remember, and followed Satan, there was a third of them. And, but the fighting the angels, two-thirds who remained loyal to God Almighty. So as a whole, a third of the angels followed Satan and were evicted from heaven. Two-thirds remained with the Lord, with God Almighty, the Creator. God is not in a battle with angels. Why? Why is God not in a battle with angels? Because it would not be an even fight. His fullness of appearance would destroy them. We know that they go in and out of the throne room, but they were created to live in His presence. But listen, God only has to open His mouth. And God is not at war with Satan. Satan is at war with God. Satan is a fallen angel. I believe he was an archangel, as Michael is an archangel. There could be others. We don't know the names of all the angels. We know Michael, Satan, and we know Gabriel. But we don't know the names of the other angels. And there are ranks. We know that. And they have rank. The angels have rank. We see here in Daniel that there are principalities and powers over countries. Ruling. I want you to just look at the nations. Look at our nations. Look at the religion, our lack of it, and you will be able to understand the influence. Just as an example, communism, the lie that God does not exist, and look how these nations rule. Islam, lie, a false god. You have in countries where they believe in reincarnation, a lie. You know, you do this thing over and over. Humanism, that you are God, the lie that you are God, is the old lie of Satan. But Satan is always giving man a lie. He's giving him a different God to worship, even if it's just man himself, to keep them from following God. But there are spiritual forces at work in our world. That's what we see here in this scripture right here, so that we are not unaware of what is happening. This angel speaking with Daniel strengthened Darius the Mede. We read in Daniel chapter 9 that he allowed the Jews to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple to offer sacrifices. But what we didn't see was the battle that was going on behind the scenes. Fallen angels battling to prevent God's word from being accomplished. God had spoken through Jeremiah the prophet 70 years of captivity, and then they would return to Israel. But you see behind that, there is a man who is on the throne, but he is influenced by the fallen angels, demonic forces, Satan's forces. So let's look at chapter 11, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Also, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. This is the angel telling Daniel what he did. He had to strengthen Darius to be able to let the Jews go. And now I will tell you the truth. It's from the scripture of truth. Behold, three more kings will arise in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than them. All by his strength through his riches, he shall stir up against the realm of Greece. So, the sovereignty of God is the theme of Daniel. It is the sovereignty of God. With this look at the future of Daniel's people and beyond to the return of Christ and his kingdom and Daniel's resurrection, Daniel has the promise of being resurrected. This is almost more than a person can take in. But Daniel, in the midst of all he has lived through, has only grown closer to God. This has given me such a great appreciation for Daniel, for the life of Daniel. He is more devoted to God at this age and in his older years. Daniel's walk with God is one of the most wonderful testimonies of a believer. No matter where you are in your walk with God, read Daniel if you want to be encouraged. No matter your suffering, your physical suffering, your relationship suffering, your monetary suffering, your whatever you perceive as your suffering, whatever your suffering is. I'm not saying you're not suffering, but whatever it is, read Daniel. No matter your persecutions, look to Daniel, a man who looked to God and kept his eyes fixed, and he ran the race. Listen, Daniel was taken. He was separated as a young man, probably 14 or 15. Could have been younger, could have been a little older. We're just not told. But that's what those who have studied this the most and studied the history, that's what they tell us. And so as a young man, he's taken, he's put in a foreign land, surrounded by those who speak foreign languages. He's surrounded by so many foreigners. And he's expected to learn the ways of the Babylonians. He's expected to learn their language. And he is expected to serve the king. Not only that, not only is he taken away, he's taken away from everything that is familiar to him. Listen, I can tell you I had a taste of that. My first long-term mission when I was in Pakistan for a month. Listen, to be there for a month and no one is speaking your language. The food is all foreign. The culture is foreign. Now, I was surrounded by Christians, but I'm telling you, the way they lived, the way they spoke, the way they carried themselves, everything was so foreign to me that by the end of that month, I was so missing my home and missing my family, missing my language, missing my food and just the things that were familiar to me. But Daniel is there and he's lived his entire life there. Not only that, Daniel's ability, we've talked about this, Daniel's ability to have a family. Remember in the life of Joseph, he was given a wife and had a family and eventually reunited with his father and his brothers. But not so here with Daniel. Could Daniel go and visit those who were down by the river? I'm sure he might have, but it was different. Daniel had a different life. He lived in the palace, and his whole life was to serve the king, to bring him answers, to look out for the king's welfare, for everything that belonged to the king. That was what Daniel was responsible for, and I don't think that he had much leisure time. But he was denied. It was stolen from him, the ability to have a wife and to have children. So that was not a part of Daniel's life. I want you to think about this the next time you complain because you don't have a spouse or maybe because you're not able to have a child. Listen, God has a purpose for your life. Whether you have a spouse or you have children, God is good into all things. And the things that you have not been able to have, maybe so that you can do the work of God in the place that you are. I know it's so hard for us to see that, but Daniel saw that. And the persecutions, we remember what was thrust upon Daniel, but Daniel stood up to it. And when Daniel was told not to pray to anyone else, Daniel continued to pray to God. He was thrown into the lion's den, trusted that God could deliver him. But if God didn't, he was not going to deny God. Help us not to help us to stand for God even on Facebook. Some of us don't even want to do that because we're so afraid of being canceled. And so we hide behind that. But Daniel fixed his eyes on God and he ran the race. We need to run the race. We need to run this race that's set before us. Each one of us has a different race. But the place we will end up is all the same. It will be an eternity with God in what he is preparing for us. He's preparing a home and we will live together. We will be brothers and sisters in that day. We're brothers and sisters now, but what I'm saying that we will be a family and God is our Father. Amen. So Daniel 11 verses 1 through 35 is about 365 years of future history of the kingdoms coming and going and their effect over Israel. Okay? So we have four more Persian kings that are coming. Three of the kings will arise in Persia. That's Cimbuzus, and I may not be saying these names right, 530 to 522. Smyrdis, 522. Darius I, Hystaspes, 521 to 486. And then the fourth one is Xerxes, 486 to 465. He's the wealthiest. And he went to fight against Greece and lost. He went to avenge his father who had fought and lost. And so did he. So let's look at Daniel 11. And I want to read down through these. I want to read these verses for us. Then a mighty king shall arise who shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he has arisen, his kingdom shall be broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven, but not among his posterity, nor according to his dominion with which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be uprooted even for others besides these. So we've gone through four kings, four more Persian kings that are coming up. And then verses 3 and 4, this prophecy is of Alexander the Great. So we go from the four kings to Greece, and which skips over 150 years of Medo-Persian history. So we see a lot of detail, but then we see that everything is not included because this is not a history book for you. You have some history in here, but this is not a full account of history. It is what God sees necessary for us to know. If you go back to Daniel chapter 10, verse 20, he says, then he said, do you know why I have come to you? Now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. He's not talking about an earthly priest. The angel is speaking to Daniel, and now he's explaining to him what will come. Remember all these different the Grecian king, and that's going to be Alexander the Great. Not every single point or person, but what is necessary to bring about God's will, that's what God has written down for us. With all the Persian kings, there has been satanic influence, and now the prince of Greece. And we see that this angel has to go back and fight the fallen principality that's over Greece. This satanic horde headed up by Satan to manipulate the kingdom of Greece against Israel. Daniel's had a dream previously about Alexander the Great. Remember, he was the leopard. He was so swift. As a leopard, he was swift. And then as a goat, and he had the four horns. His kingdom is given to his four generals: Seleucus, Ptolemy, Cassander, and Lysimachus. I think, if I'm saying that right. And in verses 5 through 20, we see the kings of the south versus the king of the north. This is 150 years between the various inheritors of Alexander's kingdom. And it concentrates, it will come down to Ptolemy and his successors, which is the southern kingdom, and Seleucus and his successors, which is in Syria. This is the north, but Daniel didn't know about Syria. And so the southern kingdom with Ptolemy is 323 to 283 BC. Seleucus is the northern kingdom, 312 to 281 BC. So let's read verses 5 through 20. Also the king of the south shall become strong as well as one of his princes, and he shall gain power over him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion, and at the end of some years they shall join forces. For the daughter of the king of the south shall go to the king of the north to make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of her authority, and neither he nor his authority shall stand. But she shall be given up with those who brought her, and with him who begot her, and with him who strengthened her in those times. But from a branch of her roots one shall arise in his place, who shall come with an army, enter the fortress of the king of the north, and deal with them and prevail. And he shall also carry their goods, their gods captive to Egypt, with their princes and their precious articles of silver and gold. And he shall continue more years than the king of the north. Also the king of the north, also the king of the north shall come to the kingdom of the king of the south, but shall return to his own land. However, his son shall stir up strife and assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overwhelm and pass through. Then he shall return to his fortress and stir up strife. And the king of the south shall be moved with rage and go out and fight with him, with the king of the north, who shall muster a great multitude. But the multitude shall be given into the hand of his enemy. When he is taken away, the multitude, his heart will be lifted up, and he will cast down 10,000s. But he will not prevail. For the king of the north will return and muster a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come at the end of some years with a great army and much equipment. Now in those times many shall arise against the king and king of the south. Also violent men of your people shall exalt themselves in fulfillment of the vision. But they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and build a siege mound and take a fortified city, and the forces of the south shall withstand him. Even his choice troops shall have no strength to resist, but he who comes against him shall do according to his own will, and no one shall stand against him. He shall stand in the glorious land with the destruction of his power. The glorious land is Israel. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give the daughter of women to destroy it. And he shall give him the daughter of women to destroy it, but she shall not stand with him or be for him. After this he shall turn his face to the coastlands and shall take many, but a ruler shall bring the reproach against them to an end. And with the reproach removed, he shall turn back on him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fortress and his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. There shall arise in his place one who imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom, Israel. But within a few days he shall be destroyed, but not in anger or in battle. So that's a lot of scripture, but I read all of that because it's important that we read it. God foretells so accurately this prophecy with minute details. Well over 100 prophetic details all fulfilled. If we took this point by point, I don't think I would be able to finish it. And I'm not an historical scholar to be able to do this. I can give you the points, and then I trust that for those who need to dive in deeper, because you need to know this, that you can go back. But the word for you is the sovereignty of God, and that God has the scripture of truth, that this is the truth, and all of this is future for Daniel. But these things have already happened for us. They're in the past for us. In verses 21 through 35, it is about Antiochus Epiphanes, 175 to 64 B.C. He is a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. He plundered the temple in Jerusalem and carried off the spoils. Let's read this, because in verse 20, it's talking about him, about him coming. And so we go to 21. And in his place shall arise a vile person. This is Antiochus, to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. He killed the heir to the kingdom. I can't remember if it was his brother or his cousin, but he killed the one who was the heir, and he took over the kingdom. With the force of a flood, they shall be swept away from before him and be broken, and also the prince of the covenant. And after the league is made with him, he shall act deceitfully. For he shall come up and become strong with a small number of people. He shall enter peaceably even into the richest palace of the province, and he shall do what his fathers have not done, nor his forefathers. He shall disperse among them the plunder, spoil, and riches, and he shall devise his plans against the strongholds, but only for a time. This is what you need to know. God is in charge of everything. There is nothing out of his control. Remember that. God is sovereign. All of these things are on God's calendar. He has an appointed time. He has an appointed person to even fulfill what he needs to be fulfilled. He will even use an evil person. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south, with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall devise plans against him. Yes, those who eat the portion of his delicacies shall destroy him. His army shall be swept away, and many shall fall down slain. Both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table, but it shall not prosper, for the end will still be at the appointed time. Do you see? God has an appointed time, and nothing is going to happen outside of the appointed time. While returning to his land with great riches, his heart shall be moved against the holy covenant, so he shall do damage and return to his own land. At the appointed time, he shall return. The appointed time. I want you to go through and mark this in your own Bible. And go toward the south, but it shall not be like the former or the latter. For ships from Cyprus shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return in rage against the holy covenant and do damage. And that covenant is what he's made with Israel. So he shall return and show no regard for those who forsake the holy covenant. For the Jews who have entered into a covenant with him, he's not going to show any regard for them. It doesn't mean anything to him. That doesn't mean anything to him. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place their abomination of desolation. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. He's talking about the covenant that he has entered into with them. And then he's talking about the covenant of the Jews who have a covenant with God. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help. But many shall join with them by intrigue. And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. So Antiochus Epiphanes, he is a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. He's not the Antichrist. He is an Antichrist, but he's not the one. He came in and he came into an agreement with them, but he plundered the temple. He erected a statue of Zeus and put it in the temple. He destroyed Torah scrolls. He got rid of the Sabbath, and he forbid circumcision. And if anyone circumcised their child, I think if you remember, he would then take that baby and hang it around the mother's neck. He forced the Jews to eat pork. But the Antichrist will be worse than this Antiochus Epiphanes. And they had a nickname for him, Epiphanes. They called him the madman. In verse 37, it says, they shall be aided with a little help. This is a reference to the Maccabean revolt, which brought about the cleansing of the temple in 165 BC. And there's a side note here. Ever since then, the Jews celebrate the event at Hanukkah, Feast of Dedication. One rabbi explains, on Purim, which is in the book of Esther, remember, we celebrate the annulment of the royal edict to destroy the body. But on Hanukkah, we were rescued from the decree which would have destroyed our souls. Now, we've read all of this, and there's just so much to get into. In verse 35, it provides the transition from the Maccabean times, and when the Maccabeans came in, they came in to do a right thing, but then without God, they just went the wrong way. It went the wrong way, but it provides the transition from the Maccabean times down through the times of the Gentiles until the end times. The outlook is one of spiritual blessing. And listen, this is how it's going to come. It's going to refine them, purify, and make them white. That's a fire. That's a fire that's coming. Even in the midst of great physical trials, In the midst of the fire, God is using that to refine, purify, and make His people white, with wearing white garments. God does not make mistakes, and nothing is left to chance, because it is still for the appointed time. Daniel is hearing all of this. All of this is coming into him. This angel is telling him all of these things. Now, these things haven't happened yet. These things haven't happened yet. He is still in the time of Cyrus. So this has not happened yet. So this is future. But it's not left to chance. But God is laying it all out for Daniel. He is the God of all history and destiny. He reveals to Daniel the coming events in the centuries ahead. Centuries ahead. To the Antichrist and his global dominion. He is revealing all of these wicked kings, the rise and the fall of all of these kingdoms, and the persecution of his people. Daniel is, his concern is, God, what's going to happen to my people? What's going to happen to my people? Daniel's not the Savior. His concern is for the Jews. So let's look at 36 through 39. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. What God has written, what God has determined will be done. We look and we see evil prospering, so we think, but it is only for a season. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God. He shall exalt himself above them all. See, he is a perfect foreshadowing of the Antichrist, because he thinks he is God. But in their place he shall honor a God of fortresses, and a God which his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. Listen, this king, it is the satanic pride and blasphemy, the beast, the Antichrist. This king will attempt to control both the bodies and the souls of all human beings on earth. This is exactly what Satan, the Antichrist, will do in the end. And it seems like he will prosper, but he will only prosper till God says no more. That this is done with. I'm done with this. Now we're going to go on. For what has been determined shall be done. God's will is accomplished. His purposes. God's will. We can't stop God's will. We can't thwart God's will. The enemy can't do it. Evil cannot do it. Evil is temporary. Rulers come and go. God is good all the time. God is past, present, future. He is. He is. He is. God is God, and there is none beside him. God has already written the history, the things that will come before Jesus even came, before he laid the foundation of the world. It was already determined that Jesus would be sacrificed on Calvary for the sins of man. If he knew he was going to do that before he laid the foundation of the world, do you think that he could not tell Daniel what was coming? Daniel, listen, Daniel was so overwrought in wanting to know what was going to happen to his people. How he loved his people, how he loved Israel, that he sought God and he was fasting and he wanted to know these things. He'd had these visions, he'd interpreted the visions, and now God is laying this out for his man. Because God is good. And we see the absolute sovereignty of God. God does not change. We see the sovereignty of God in the midst of humanity. We see the sovereignty of God in the midst of the angelic rebellion. We see the sovereignty of God. God is on his throne. He rules. and he reigns, and his purposes are carried out by those angels that are around his throne as he sends them forth, and God's purposes are carried out by the men that he raises up and he puts down. Amen. Amen. We read 38 and 39. The Antichrist will lavish all his vast resources upon military fortifications and his programs, and will give positions of authority and property to those who will follow him. In verse 40, and at the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through them. He shall also enter the glorious land, Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown. At the end time, let's finish this chapter. But these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. This is because he was so sidetracked with battling others that he just overlooked them. Antiochus did. That's what history reveals. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountains. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. All rulers are removed, and the Antichrist is the one who is behind it all. He thinks that he will be God. He thinks that he's going to sit on God's throne, and he's doing all of these things, you know. But his end will come too. There are those that they don't even, listen, the end of some rulers, it just ends. And it's like, how did that happen? Because God intervened. God intervened. And all of this is being revealed to Daniel. So all of that is past. All of that is past history. So you can go back and you can look at your history books and you can say, oh, she was wrong about this. But she, listen, I'm not a history teacher. But you can go back and you can study it. You can build your own timelines and you can look at it. But God has already spoken it. He told this to Daniel. Future for Daniel, past for us. Right? So now let's look at Daniel chapter 12. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Listen, he's told Daniel all of this, and it's like, oh my goodness, God. What? And now he says, but there's going to be trouble. Trouble for Israel like there's never been before. No nation has ever seen what this is going to be like. Can you imagine hearing that? And he says, even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered. I just love this. For your people, Daniel, they are going to be under one ruler after another who hates them. But all you have seen and heard does not compare to what's coming at the end time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book of life. Revelation 21:27. Listen, God is not going to save any person because of them being a Jew if they have not come to repentance and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will not be saved outside of that. That is what the Word says, not what I say. Look it up for yourself so that you're firm in that. I can stand firm on that because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has no regards for anyone. God looks at everyone the same, and we will all enter in the same way by the blood of the Lamb. I cannot sneak into a side door, a side window, or up a window, a basement. I can only enter in by the blood of the Lamb being applied to me, that my sins are forgiven and I'm washed white as snow. I have become a child of God, and there is no one else who can enter in. Everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Many of those. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. That means some will have everlasting life with God and some will not. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. I think maybe like Daniel. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. There are those in the Old Testament who God used greatly, like Jeremiah, Isaiah. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. This was shut up until after Christ. Until Christ, I do believe that there was no understanding. That these words, that there was a veil over the face of everyone who tried to read these and understand this. Folks, all through the ages have run since Christ. They have run from here to there to find the answers. They're trying to find out who is the Messiah? Who is the one to come? When is his coming? What are the signs? And they're running here and there and running over here to listen to this person and listen to this person when God has all these things recorded for us. But he says that this will happen. Verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the one man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? The angels are questioning, wondering, how long before all of this is fulfilled that you're talking about? How long is it going to be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever, God Almighty, that's who, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half time when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered. All these things shall be finished. 3.5 years, and when the holy people, the people, God's people that he called in Israel. Listen, I don't want to get into this thing where people come here and say that Revelation is only for the Jews. I don't believe that. But I do believe that Daniel is seeing something. Listen, in the midst of all that tribulation, in the midst of the Antichrist, I do believe that God does have a special dealing with the Jews because of their rejection of him. And because he called them, and because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Daniel is inquiring of his people. We actually don't see where the church is mentioned in here. But we see the beginning of the Antichrist, and we see what the Jews will go through. We already know what we're going to go through. We're going to go through persecutions. Jesus said they hated me, so they're going to hate you. And if they reject what we say, they're not rejecting us, but they're rejecting him. He's already told us. All we have to do is look at his life to know what following him will cost us. But he says that your holy people has been completely shattered. All these things shall be finished, crushing the pride and self-sufficiency of God's people. Pride cannot abide in God's presence. And that's the same thing for us, a New Testament believer as well as an Old Testament believer. Listen, pride cannot stand in the presence of God, and that has to be destroyed. Although, verse 8, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Listen, I just think I'm in good company. I think I'm in good company with Daniel. Daniel didn't understand all of this. And he admits it. He confesses it here. So I encourage you to continue to study Daniel. Daniel did not understand. And just what we've been through, you may have more understanding for me. And then the next time I go through this, I'm sure that God will give me understanding that I didn't have before. I've not exhausted my study in the book of Daniel's. In the book of Daniel, I'm sorry. And so, commentaries, listen, when you are studying to teach and you go to those who have long since studied and been revealed, you pray, you read the word, and even commentaries, they're divided, and it's according to what denomination, as to what leaning they are. But I don't want to be like that. I want to be leaning with God. I want God to give me understanding. I want God to show me. And what God is showing me in this, listen, God is the one who has all the answers. He has told us that Jesus will return, that Satan is defeated foe, and his time is limited. And God is going to set up his kingdom. Wicked people will do wickedly. The wise will understand to follow God. It costs us. Persecutions are coming. They have been since Satan set his sights on God's throne. When he set his sight on God's throne, and when he saw man was made in the image of God and given dominion, he hates God. He hates his image bearers, and that's what you are. But as Daniel walked through his life, loving God and not growing weary, we are to do the same. I want to finish reading this because it's important that we read the word. Even though we may not understand everything, we read God's word. And he said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. And I believe that that was after Jesus. Because it's been the end times since Jesus has ascended to heaven. It's been the end times and we are waiting and we are closer. We could see it in our lifetime, but I could go home to be with Jesus tomorrow and not see it. And you could see it. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. Listen, it says that same thing in the book of Revelation. They won't change. They'll cry for the mountains to fall on them instead of repenting. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Those who trust in the Lord, God gives us understanding. That understanding is that he has written to us. He's already shown us these things. And the full understanding, John the apostle was a Jew. And he looked back, he knew this book, and God gave him further revelation. He revealed it all. It was an unveiling. The book of Revelation is an unveiling of what God is going to do. Daniel was only needing an unveiling for the Jews, but God revealed to John the unveiling for what he will do for all of mankind and what is going to happen in the earth. All of it. It was an opening, a revelation, a revealing of that. Daniel was only concerned with the Jews, but God even showed him future. And from that time, the daily sacrifices is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up. There shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Now, I'm just telling you, you understand because you've heard it preached time and time and time and time again. These scriptures I'm going to tell you, go to the book of Revelation and just find your peace in what God will reveal to you. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. God is so sovereign. He is in control and everything is on schedule. That is what this book is telling us. He is returning at the appointed time, and folks, we will be with him. Look at Daniel's promise. But you go your way, Daniel. You go ahead and you live your life. Till the end, until you draw your last breath, for you shall rest then. Daniel is resting and waiting for that return. He will go up before those who were still alive at the return. He will go up first. Daniel's waiting for that, and then his inheritance at the end of the days. There is an inheritance for us. Some will receive crowns. We know there are five crowns. There are gifts that God will give those. Listen, we know we've not all been as faithful as Daniel. We know we've not all been as faithful as Joseph or the Apostle Paul or the Apostle John. So, but we're not going to be jealous. We're not going to be jealous because look at this promise. There is a resurrection. There is an inheritance. And there is an eternity because we serve a sovereign God whose word is truth. He has it all written. It's all recorded. It's all said and done. And now he's just letting it unfold. If you've not given your life to the Lord, now is the time. If you want the same promise that Daniel has, there is only one way to be saved. That is for you to turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and gave his life. He was innocent, but he took our guilt. He took my guilt upon himself. He died in my stead. He took the wrath of God that I might be forgiven, that I might live. He wants me to live in eternity with him and his Father and in his kingdom. I won't have any more sorrow. I won't have any more tears, disappointments. I won't sin against God, and I will be in his presence. And what he has done for me, he has done for you. You just need to recognize it and come to him and humble yourself. Amen. Amen. And may you all have a glorious new year in 2025. May the Lord do a great new work in your life. Amen. Amen.